Welcome to the podcast. This episode is brought to you by Maison Beljanski, providing natural supplements for helping your body's healing and wellness, inspired by over 40 years of groundbreaking research. Today, I am joined by my friend, Dr. Tony Jimenez, who is medical doctor and naturopathic doctor. He's the founder and chief medical officer of the Hope for Cancer Treatment Centers, which are world-leading integrative oncology centers in Mexico. He's been at the forefront for over 30 years, has really dedicated his life to the study, the clinical research, and implementation of integrative strategies for healing cancer, chronic infections, immune disorders, you name it, and is a beacon in the community of natural and holistic cancer care, somebody I respect deeply. He was the award recipient at the Beljanski Foundation this past year, and was just a really special experience to have you there, Dr. Tony, being at the Beljanski Integrative Cancer Conference and hearing your speech after the award, and just, you know, how highly regarded and respected you are in the community. And, you know, the success, it goes to show how much you care about your patients and how much you put into the research and determining, all right, what's causing cancer and what do we need to do about it, and really focus on an integrative approach to help people heal from cancer. So excited to have you on the podcast, and really excited for our conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Nathan. It is truly a mission. You know, I know you're on a great mission. I respect your work and many decades also of dedication. And for me, it's a mission. I had a prophecy many years ago at a small church in the suburb of Houston, Texas, a little town called Pasadena. And it was the first time and the only time I've been to that church, and the minister prophesied over me. Actually, was a guest pastor at that church at that time. And it's a long story, but the short of it is that she picked me out over, there were like 1,000 attendees, and she said, that young man there is going to do great things in medicine. And it's not in this country, she said, Nathan. And I thought, well, you know, Texans think Texas is a country, right? But not in this country. And he's going to travel the world. He's going to treat ministers, government people, royal families, generals, famous people, all that. And he's going to have a center where many will come to get health and healing. And so that has been confirmed over my lifetime. And so it is truly a mission. I'm so happy to be on your podcast so that we could share some of the many years of this journey with the ups and downs, the learning, and you know, we learn the most from our patients, right? From our patients. So thank you for having me. I know this is going to be a great empowerment to your community. So I'm blessed. Thank you so much, Nathan.
No, I'm blessed. And that's the first time I've actually heard that story. That is so cool. That's incredible. You know, it reminds me of when I was 17, 18, very lost, you know, homeless, addicted to drugs and alcohol on the streets. But I got taken in by this family, my best friend's family, who were very spiritual people, who were, you know, vegetarian, clean eating. You know, we'd talk about Jesus and Baroque music versus classical music and Buddha and meditation and all these things. And, you know, here I am on one hand going out and partying and getting into trouble and doing all this stuff where I was totally lost and afraid and angry. And then on the other hand, I'd go to their house and just be in this incredible, loving, spiritual environment, which I love. There was that part of my soul that was just like yearning for that, you know? And I was sitting there one day and I had a vision. And I had a vision of myself standing on a stage, you know, speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people. And I was like healthy and I was helping people. And that vision started coming true a few years later after I left that life behind, moved to California, started my life over. And then all of a sudden, in a few years, I was speaking to small groups and then larger and larger and larger. Earlier this year, I was speaking to on a stage that had almost 1,000 people there, you know, in the audience. And I realized now, I didn't realize at the time, but I realized now that was a vision from God. That was, yes, a prophecy. It was showing, just as you said, prophecy. It was like, it was showing me the potential that but I needed to walk towards that, right? How often do you find your patients know in their heart what they're supposed to do, but they are having a hard time actually making the changes and doing what they know that God wants them to do?
This is just such a deep, important topic because, and it's a subject of my next book coming out in February 2025. It's called Emotions and Cancer.
Okay.
Emotions and Cancer. Because we know that I was telling you before we went on live, we have a boxer. He's a famous world champ, ex-Olympic boxer for the US Olympic team. And he says, I train the way I will fight. So I asked your community, how are you training now? How are you being proactive? And then he said, 80% of the outcome of the fight is emotional. Only 20% is physical. And at Hope for Cancer, we have a program that's called the BEST program, BEST, that stands for Behavioral, Emotional, and Spiritual Transformation. And you know, Nathan, because you've done hundreds of podcasts, the two podcasts or webinars that I do that bring the most attention are two: nutrition and the emotional correlation to cancer and disease, right? So I encourage all your community to really deep dive on what are those sudden traumatic shock experiences that you had that at that time you did not have a solution to. And that by getting rid, letting go of those traumas, health just increases in a quantum fashion, right? So all cancers have a deep emotional conflict, which is the primary conflict and secondary ones. And so the conclusion of the summary of what I'm saying is encouraging all of you to give yourself that benefit of the doubt. If you say, I've handled it, I put it in the back burner, I shelved it, or, I had a happy childhood, everything was great, my parents love me, I have the best brothers and sisters, I have no problem. Well, if you're human, we all have stuff, right? We have a backpack of stuff that we have to let go. So this is deep and very important for all of us to consistently and constantly work on this.
I love that you're writing a book about it. I think that's, you'll put so much research and practicality. I love your approach. Like, even with your current book, it's very research-based, but it's also very practical-based, right? You give action steps for people. The seven, it remind me, is it the seven steps of healing? What's your current book called? I have it on my
Well,
book.
yeah, the book, I could show it. It's Hope for Cancer, Seven Principles to Remove Fear
Seven principles.
and
There we go. Yep.
Empower Your Healing Journey. So if you don't read anything of the book, just open it up. And here in the inside it are the seven key principles. And after 30 plus years, these are the foundation to treatment at Hope for Cancer. And I believe also the foundation for prevention and for wellness and longevity. And Nathan, some of the things I talked about and I've been doing since 2000 are now like in the mainstream, especially with biohackers and all that. When I started using near infrared saunas back in 2000, when I started using PEMF, pulsating electromagnetic field therapy, and now, we realize the power of sound, light, energy medicine. So embedded in our preventive approach and our therapeutic approach also for cancer.
Have you heard of PEMF therapy for cancer? Well, this podcast is brought to you by Dr. Pollock, and he wants to share with you the groundbreaking research of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy in the treatment of cancer. Studies show PEMF therapy can help control the cancer process and give safe, non-toxic, and non-invasive symptom management. PEMF therapy may enhance other cancer support and treatments, lower inflammation, and promote tissue healing. Studies show it's possible to improve your general well-being and recuperate from surgery, radiation, and chemo better and more quickly. Embrace a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment with PEMF therapy, a vital tool on your path to prevention, treatment, and recovery. For caring and professional guidance and recommendations from Dr. Pollock, go to drpollock.com
drpawluk.com/intro to cancer. That's drpawluk.com/intro to cancer.
Yeah, on the emotional side of cancer, emotional side of really all disease, you know, I right now, actually, as we're recording this, is episode number two of my Conquering Cancer, what I call the missing link, right? It's called Conquering Cancer, the missing link. It's literally, I had this download, this vision, this inspiration a few years ago that was like, what's the next docuseries I want to do on cancer? And it was all about the emotional connection. When I talk with my business partners and everyone who kind of runs the marketing and the sales and tech, you know, they were like, no, that's not going to sell. People don't care about emotions and cancer and da da. I was like, I don't care. Like, this is what needs to, like, this is what my heart, this is what God's telling me is the missing link. We can talk about nutrition all day long and supplements all day long and exercise all day long. And yeah, that's what people want to hear about. That's kind of the, but to me, what I've noticed over the years in working with thousands and thousands of patients and clients is that, you know, if you don't get the emotional piece right, like you're potentially missing 80% of what your body needs to be able to heal, right? If you're in that sympathetic overdrive nervous system state that is constantly has a downregulated immune system, how can your body heal? You know, no matter how many supplements we throw at it. So to me, it's like, that's the missing link. That's the 80, the foundation. We've got to heal those emotional traumas and bondages and you know, negative belief systems and all, you know, all of those things, childhood adverse events, the ACEs. And then once we, you know, really focus on that, then the body, then we can empower the body with all these other things that make a huge difference, sauna, supplements, diet, nutrition, sleep, exercise.
And that's exactly what that is the missing link, because even today, and I say this humbly, I don't know of an integrative oncology center, and for sure, no conventional oncology center, but I don't know of anyone that really addresses the behavior, emotion, and spiritual therapy to the depth that we do at Hope for Cancer. And this took a lot of work. We have six trained practitioners, four of which are medical doctors. One is a pediatrician, and she looks at that childhood trauma. I mean, when it starts, even before birth, sometimes it could go back to fourth generation. And as you know, that's biblical. So indeed, I call it the downward causation of healing. It starts at the spiritual level, then the mental, emotional, and then the physical. And now, as we know, medicine is upside down. It's all about treating the person, treating the cancer in the person, not the person with the cancer. Right. And this has to be inverted. And we know from ancient times, Nathan, when patients went to a healing center, they didn't see me, the medical doctor, the naturopathic doctor. The first person they saw was the monk, the rabbi, the spiritual counselor. Then they saw the emotional psychologist. And then they saw us. We were like at the end of the hallway by the bathroom, right? That's the importance that they gave to health and healing. So.
That's a good point. I kind of forgot about that. That's true. Yeah, it was always go see your rabbi, right? Go see your priest. Go see your, it was always focus the spiritual first. And somehow, you know, in I think we know the financial motives, that has all gotten swapped, unfortunately.
That's right.
I want to share a story, and I'd love for you to, I know you have some great stories with patients, but I had a colleague, Dr. Keisha Ewers. I've shared her story a few times over the years, where it highlights what we're talking about so perfectly, where she's trained in emotional health and healing, and she's, I believe she's a psychologist, and she's very intelligent. So she was prepared for this, really helped her a lot with her training and background. She found out later when her son was grown up, I think he was in his 20s or 30s, he finally told her that when he was a young child, the babysitter had molested him, and she never knew about it, and he just kept it inside, right? This is one of those childhood traumas, one of those ACEs that we're talking about. And then he finally, for whatever reason, told her one day, and she took it so hard, you know, traumatically. It traumatized her, mainly because she thought, how could I, under my own nose, you know, hire somebody to watch my kids and not even know that this guy's molesting my kids? Like, just how she had so much shame and blame, both for him, the babysitter and for herself. And literally within months, she grew a breast tumor. Right. This is how powerful traumas are and belief systems are. Right. And now, it's not usually always a couple of months like that, but usually you can tie it within a few years of a major trauma. Right. In many cases with cancer, sometimes it's longer, but usually within, you know, 9, 12 months or a few years. Her case, it was a couple of months. Breast cancer, breast tumor grew. She knew it was from that. She knew it was from the resentment, the blame, the shame that she was holding on to. And so she went into forgiveness practice, and she fully forgave him. She fully forgave herself. She, you know, like, that sounds easy, but there's work to be done there. It's not like, oh, I forgive you. Like, it has to be genuine, you know. You have to bring your soul into it, right? But literally after she finished the emotional healing and forgiveness practice, within 3 months, she told me her breast tumor was gone.
Yeah, that's so true. And I, as you said, I have many stories, but I'll highlight one because it goes right along what you said. It's usually according to the work of Dr. Hammer, German New Medicine, and then Dr. Claude Chabot in France, and Gilbert Renau in Canada, and ourselves. It's usually within 18 months. That seems to be like the time frame, right? Within 18 months. And so we had a patient, Nathan, and in the community, the listeners and viewers, who had right breast cancer. And we know that the right side of the body is more the male side, whereas the left side is the mother side, the child mother, the nest, the niche. So this lady, her name is Phyllis. She was a school teacher in Southern California, and she had right breast cancer. So we're treating her at our Tijuana Treatment Center a year, 2 years, 3 years, and she's doing well. She's fully active, working well. The tumor is not growing. There are no metastatic lesions anywhere. However, the tumor is still there. And this is what's given me all this gray hair throughout the years, Nathan. And so when I start learning this connection between the emotional trauma and cancer, I approached her in a very loving way. And again, to cut some of the story to make it more quicker and precise, she ended up telling me that between the ages of 10 to 12, she was sexually abused by her father, her grandfather, and her uncle. Now she was 62. So for 50 years, those three guys knew this, she knew it, and now I was the fifth person to know this. And so in a very loving, caring way, professionally, I help her let go of that trauma. And as you said, forgiveness is important. And we have to qualify forgiving versus forgetting, right?
Right.
It's forgiving. She let go of the trauma, and it took some work, obviously, but I kid you not, within 2 weeks, that breast tumor went away.
Wow.
Within 2 weeks. We have a patient now, she's 23 years old from Indiana. She has melanoma. Melanoma is the conflict of separation or dirtiness, because the skin is the biggest organ of in our body, and that's the conflict associated with melanoma. So she's 23 years old, had no issues in health. She got the COVID shot, the jab, and shortly thereafter, she developed this melanoma. Now she's been in a year and a half of chemo and immunotherapy and so forth, very toxic. She's been with us only for 3 months, but she's turned around. She's doing so well. However, yes, the COVID shot could have and probably did have a connection with her cancer development, the melanoma. But more importantly, as she's starting to engage with us again, sexual abuse, sexual trauma, with family members, right? And alcoholism and different things. And once we freed her up from that, and by the way, she visited us in Austin where I live past weekend, and we baptized her. Mm. We baptized her. It was just a special event. My wife was here, some of our local leadership team here in Austin, and it melts my heart. This is when I say, Nathan and everyone, that this is a mission, right? Because it's not just healing the physical body, it's healing that emotional, and then of course bringing people to a greater connection spiritually, right? For us as believers, our connection is with Jesus, right? But we honor everyone. We've had patients from over 70 countries with all the denominations you could imagine. So, but it's about that connection with your spiritual self. So yeah, Nathan, many stories, and I could tell you leukemia is going away, prostate cancer, colon cancer, lung cancer. It's across the board because 75% of the healing of these physical, the connection between the emotion and the physical, 75% of the healing is the awareness, bringing them from that under the water iceberg principle type, right? Where you bring the, because about 85% of our traumas are hidden. Only 15%, right, are in conscious awareness. So we have to bring them to conscious awareness. And 75% of the healing is just the awareness. So when I talk to your community and to others about doing the work, is getting a piece of paper, jotting down, start to jot down chronologically the stuff in your life, you know, the abuses, the losses, the hurts, so many things, right? And that 75% of that is let go of, right? And then the other 25% needs more work, you know, potentially with a practitioner.
Yeah, it's, you know, there was something called the 12, I think there was 12 of them, 10 or 12 patterns of exceptional physical healing that was put together by Dr. Diane Perlman and her colleagues over the years, where they looked at many patients who had, you know, what you would call spontaneous remissions or really exceptional healing circumstances, right, where they didn't follow conventional therapies, and they were able to reverse cancers. And they looked at what were the things that they were doing, right? What were the things that all these patients had in common that they contributed towards their success in healing from disease? And one of those 12 was introspection, specifically on going inside and looking at, you know, unresolved loss, grief work, you know, any kind of longstanding conflicts. These could be things where you're holding resentment towards a family member. You haven't spoken to somebody in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. That happened with my mother and I years ago, and I went through a forgiveness practice and, you know, brought us back together, right, which was essential because I was holding things inside against her, you know, which I realized I needed to let go. You know, I was 19, I think I was 19 years old, 19, 20 years old, hadn't talked to her in a few years, had blamed her for different things in my life at that time. And I just, when I started diving into my spiritual journey at 18, 19, 20, I just, again, you know, I say these downloads, these inspirations, but now more than ever, I know they're just guidance from God that was telling me, you need to forgive your mother. You know,
yes.
You need to forgive your mother. You need to forgive yourself, because I'm blaming myself subconsciously for so many, you know, problems and things that I went through. And so that forgiveness, actually, I've shared the story a few times on the podcast when I actually called my mom. You don't always have to talk to the person, right? Forgiveness is really about you, right? Forgiving somebody else, because you're holding on to that pain and resentment and anger and, you know, guilt or whatever it is, that's burning you from the inside out. But if it's a close family member or somebody that you want to try to rekindle the relationship, then, you know, a safe situation where you can forgive them, you know, again, having some guidance in this is probably a good thing. Talking with a counselor, talking with your staff, right? Having people support you through it. But I did it on the phone with her and said, I just needed to forgive you. I've been holding on to this for so long. And when I told her I need to forgive her, and I actually felt it, like I felt the weight off my shoulders. I heard this, like this electric explosion on the phone. It was like, psh! I was like, what the heck? You know, I was on the phone. I think I was probably like 19, 20 years old in San Diego. And I felt this huge weight lift off my shoulders. I felt this whole, like my whole body just open up and this explosion. And I was just like, what just happened? I had no idea something like that was going to happen, but that's right. We're all energetic beings. And I was just holding on to that traumatic energy that was bogging me down. And, you know, I love what you said, write down, think about, like, what are those traumas in your life? Who are the people that you're resenting? You know, what are things that happened to you that you're still holding on to? I don't know, have you ever done the, do you guys implement Byron Katie's process at all called The Work? Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with that. It's part, yeah, we kind of do a number of different, you know, works out there that now we call the BEST program.
Okay, so that's implemented, like you have, yeah, in your BEST program. That's, The Work is a really great process you can do on your own. I've done that before and have had things come up that I forgot all about, right?
Right.
You said a lot of these things are in the subconscious. We forget about them. And this was like a small thing, but it was still there, you know, it was still something that was like holding me down that I needed to resolve.
And we all have something. We all have stuff. I could relate to you, Nathan, because with my brother, who's a medical doctor also, and my mom, I had some stuff going on. And by the way, the listeners can read Dr. Tony's big toe story in my book, Hope for Cancer, because it illustrates what we're talking about, how, you know, without me even telling my mom, how I forgave her and understood her and then loved myself more and loved her. I always loved her. She was an ideal mom, but it just happened. Like you said, that bang. And, you know, the Dr. Tony's big tell story illustrates that. It's amazing how this is all. And, if, you know, trained as a medical doctor, we have no clue about any of this. And so, but when you live it, and as you said, we have hundreds of stories.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you're looking at cancer, I know you mentioned, right, the,
7 key principles, or
the German gentleman,
Dr. Hammer, German medicine.
Yeah, Hammer. So you know Henning, Dr. Saupa, who's in our HLC, and also another brilliant cancer doctor, who also, you know, really follows and believes in Dr. Hammer's work. But he also has some reservations in that, where, like, he does agree and see the emotional side directly related to cancer, but Dr. Hammer's work takes it to, he believes it can take it to an extreme sometimes, where, like, he had a woman who was, because part of it is you need to let the cancer go through its process, right? Its healing process, and let it go sometimes to the extreme to then it will heal itself. But he's had patients who just went to that extreme to then the cancer was so spread all over their body. I've seen photos, like the whole body was just, oh, it was so, so awful and so painful. And that, you know, there was nothing I could do for that woman at that point. What are your thoughts on that in terms of like the process of the Dr. Hammer approach? Because there's multiple facets to it.
You know, with the cold and flu season here, it's critically important that we enhance and strengthen our immune systems. Yes, would you agree? The problem is, though, that there's so much confusion out there when it comes to what actually works for our bodies and for our health. Well, I'll tell you what I used. I used Maison Beljansky's wellness products. Maison Beljansky's products are backed by science to not only help empower the immune system, but can support detoxification and contribute to our overall health. Coming from Europe, the all-natural Beljansky formulas are now available in the United States and are recommended by top doctors everywhere. A lot of the colleagues I work with, functional medicine practitioners that work with patients with all kinds of diseases, are recommending Maison Beljansky's products to their very own patients. As a special sponsor of this podcast, Maison Beljansky has included a very special discount offer for all of my listeners. You can get 15% off your first order using the promo code Nathan. And you'll always enjoy free shipping when you order 4 products or more. You can grab your wellness products today at MaisonBeljansky.com. That's MaisonBeljansky. MaisonBeljansky.com. And use code Nathan for 15% off. You know, one of the most important things I've learned over the years in helping many people get and stay healthy is to help them shift their mindset into thinking of themselves as an athlete, no matter their age, whether they just walk 30 minutes a day in the mornings, for example, or they play sports for fun on the weekends, or they go to the gym a couple days a week. No matter what your activity level, if you think of yourself as an athlete, then you start to naturally take better care of your body, focus more on your nutrition, recovery, sleep, other health protocols that optimize your performance as an athlete, and in turn may help you prevent and heal against chronic diseases and help your body be the healthiest that it can possibly be. So if you want to live a long, healthy, vital life and start thinking of yourself as an athlete, head over to plantpoweredathlete.com and get the latest organic, plant-powered protein, super clean, nutrient-dense, high-quality plant-powered protein to help you live your healthiest, most vital life. And you can use our discount code Panacea15 for 15% discount off your first order. Again, that's plantpoweredathlete.com. Get some of the plant-powered protein for yourself and start thinking of yourself as an athlete every day and see how it impacts your health for the long term. All right, let's get to the show.
Right, totally. I met with Dr. Hammer. I was blessed to be given 3 hours of his time, actually at his home, because as you know, he was German, then he moved to Spain. They were kind of persecuting him and following him. And then he retired, and well, he never retired, but continued his work in Norway. And I was lecturing in Oslo years ago, and he accepted me, invited me to his home, where I spent three hours with him. And it was one of the highlights of my life, you know, someone of that stature who has done a lot of research, who was a clinical oncologist, you know, in the thick of things. And yes, Dr. Hammer just believed in German New Medicine. He didn't like acupuncture, homeopathy, saunas, anything like that. It was just German New Medicine. And you were talking about the three phases, of healing, right? Which is, and so it is true. So it's like also some patients come to us and they say, well, I said, why is this tumor so big on your breast? It's like a cauliflower. Well, God is going to take care of it. Yes, but you have to do something about it and be proactive. So, and one of the limitations with Dr. Hammer and his work was that he had patients do a brain CT scan. And the CT scan was to see those concentric circles that he called hammer herds in the brain that were correlated to a physical part of the body, the right breast, the left breast, the pancreas, and so forth. And so, you know, giving a CT scan of the brain to every patient to look at this is kind of toxic, of course. I have a really well-renowned ER doc, and she tells me that of every 1,000 CT scans of the brain that's done in the ER room, they cause one malignant brain tumor. One patient gets a brain tumor from that. And they do thousands of this every day across the world, if not hundreds of thousands. So, and then the second limitation with Hammer's work is the practicality. Like, he didn't really develop methods to free oneself of those traumas, right? So his work was brilliant, improving it from a scientific perspective. And then others took that further and gave us tools. And you mentioned one, we've developed others at Hope for Cancer, tools that are practical and the patient can continue that work beyond the 3 week or the stay at our center, for example. So the tools are important, and Hammer didn't quite get to that point.
Yeah. So let me, because I did research, this was quite a while back, on German New Medicine. And correct me if I'm wrong, the three kind of stage approaches, like there's the trauma, right? And in his own case, if I remember, it was something happened to his son. I think it's a sudden death of his son. And then he got testicular cancer, right? And that started triggering this idea and this research of like, how emotional traumas with family members or different things in our lives can cause cancer inside ourselves. And he started correlating, you know, oh, if it's a son, it's, you know, this part of the body. If it's a daughter or a child, this part of the body, and started actually mapping all this out with thousands of patients. But there's the trauma. And then there's the Expression of that trauma, right? I don't remember the exact terms, but it's like, okay, now the cancer, for example, is showing up because it needs to go through, because the trauma was not resolved, and so your body is now creating this, this cancer showing up in the body. And when we resolve the trauma, then the cancer will go through its full stage and
Right.
then basically heal on its own.
So what you're referring to, Nathan, correctly, are those three phases that we mentioned. The first phase is when everything is in balance, everything is fine. Then there's the trauma, and that causes what's called the active conflict phase. That's when the tumor shows up, the inflammation, the pain. And then if you let that proceed, as you mentioned, then you get to the resolution phase, right? And if you give like an antibiotic or a steroid or a chemo, you're stopping that natural progression, according to Dr. Hammer, of that healing phase. You're blocking it going from the conflict active phase to the healing resolution phase. So that is correct what you said. And I agree with Dr. Henning, who's a great friend of mine. I've actually been to his clinic there in Germany, and I agree with him. It is brilliant work from Dr. Hammer. We have to take it to the next level of making it practical and giving patients tools that they can consistently work at to let go of these traumas. And yes, his son was killed accidentally in a yacht, and but he wasn't killed in the yacht. He was shot accidentally in the yacht. You know, young kids playing with guns and things like that. And then he was flown to a hospital there in the Mediterranean, and Dr. Hammer flew there and stayed with his son for X number of months. I think it was 3 months. His son had multiple surgeries. The son ended up dying in his arm. Shortly thereafter, Dr. Hammer developed testicular cancer. The testicles, the major conflict was that is the conflict of loss, LOSS, because the testicles are to nourish the sperm and keep the species going. So then Dr. Hammer developed a testicular cancer, and that's the story how that evolved. And he saw the correlation with the conflict of loss, which is common in our testicular cancer and also ovarian cancer in female. So every person with ovarian or testicular cancer has a conflict of loss, LOSS. Yes.
So would you say that every cancer patient that's come through Hope for Cancer through your centers in Mexico, would you say that you have recognized some kind of emotional trauma
Absolutely.
either in part, correlated to their cancer, or at least theorize that it's related to their cancer?
Yeah, and it's not really a theory because this is biology, it's biological, right? So the answer to your question is absolutely. And woof, Nathan, the stories that I've heard from patients, it will blow people out of this world. Like, you don't think that stuff happens, right? Stuff happens, but absolutely. And so it's like you said with your mom, it's then they feel free, they're liberated. And what happens to their healing? It's a quantum leap in their healing, because the biggest challenge, the biggest obstacles to their healing is now removed. As a naturopathic doctor, Nathan, we learn what's called the therapeutic order of healing. And the first step in the therapeutic order of healing is removing obstacles to health. We could also call it removing obstacles to cure. And the emotional, spiritual is one of the biggest obstacles there, right? So when we remove that, then the second, just to finish this, the second therapeutic order of healing is we could say it's like strengthening the weakened systems of the body. What are the weakest systems in your body, right? Is it your immune system? Is it your GI? For me, it was my digestive system because of all the traveling, the late nights, the not eating, you know, at certain times of the day. So for me, it was the digestive system. So I encourage all of you to look at what are the obstacles to your health and remove those obstacles to health. Look at strengthening your weakened system and give that a priority. Do a self-evaluation. And after you strengthen that system, then go to maybe a secondary system that is weaken. And what happens is when you improve the priority weakened system, the other system starts to come into regulation. I don't like the word homeostasis. I like bioregulation, right? So they come into regulation. And the third order of the therapeutic order of healing is stimulate the body's self-healing mechanism. How powerful is that, right? Stimulating your body's self-healing mechanism. And you know the next one very well also is correcting, number four, correcting structural integrity. You know, your posture, the breath, and, you know, exercise, all that is so important. So if I leave your audience, your community with anything, is that therapeutic order of healing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And we're, you know, we're talking about forgiveness. I pulled up some Bible verses. I think you'll appreciate these. I know you're very well versed in the Bible, but even, you know, from a spiritual perspective, you know, Jesus was telling us why we need to forgive, right? And what that means. So we're talking about forgiveness, and we're talking about emotional trauma in relationship to cancer, because oftentimes people who are diagnosed with cancer, you know, I've met people over years ago, why God, why me, right? Why are you doing this to me, God? Why this punishment? What is, you know, damn you, God, why, like, right? Like anger towards God. But just for people tuning in who have that thought, or the thought of like, okay, what's the deeper spiritual reasons for what we're talking about? Ephesians 4:31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, right? People who have done anything wrong to you. If you forgive people who've done anything wrong to you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Amen.
Right? And then Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Basically saying, look, you know, whatever, that's saying we also need to forgive ourselves, right? I have blotted out transgressions, your transgressions, for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. But you need to forgive yourself, and you need to forgive others. I mean, it's so powerful. It's right there in the Bible, you know?
I have a patient, Nathan, who is a Bible scholar. She's from Israel, and she is a Bible scholar. She teaches the Bible from a Christian perspective and also from a Jewish perspective. And she was diagnosed with stage 4 biliary pancreatic cancer, you know, deadly, right? Within 6 months. This was diagnosed at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in LA, you know, famous, good hospital. And she had what's called a Whipple. They removed the pancreas, part of the liver, the gallbladder, part of the small intestine, lymph nodes, and anything else that they could take out. The Whipple is one of the most aggressive surgeries that can be done. I did a lot of work in surgery before the transition into integrative oncology. So that being said, Revi is her name. She had the Whipple. And after the surgery, they told her, we got it all, you're clear. 3 months later, she has similar pain to what she did initially, had initially. And they said, no, no, it's fine. We just did the surgery. We got it all 3 months ago. And Revi said, no, I insist. Let's check. Something's not right. I know my body. So they scanned her, and there was a recurrence or a tumor in the surgical bed where the pancreas was. And now she had metastasis to the liver. And they told her 6 months to live at Cedars-Sinai. Revi came to us in Tijuana. We hadn't opened our Cancun center yet. This was probably in 2010. So it's been 14 years. Revi is cancer-free to this day. But the point of the story is, Revi was not the best patient with following the nutrition, the good sleep habits, because she studies and writes books and all this at night. She did the therapies okay, you know, maybe 80, 70%, not to my liking. But her spiritual life was unwavering. And she never believed or thought that this cancer in lieu of what the doctors told her at Cedars-Sinai in LA, that this was going to, you know, take her life. And so beyond believing, I know that beyond believing is the knowing, when you know that you are going to be healed. And then you use the word of God, as you just read three passages, you use the word of God to give you that strength to pull you through those moments of difficulties, because the cancer journey, as we all know, it's not easy. It has its ups and downs. And to this day, as I mentioned, what, 14 years later, Rebe continues to be cancer-free, right? From a biliary pancreatic cancer recurrence after Whipple with metastasis to the liver. And it was, in my mind, to this day, it was mostly spiritual.
That's a living miracle right there, right? That's what modern science would say is impossible.
Right.
It's not possible, right? There's nothing we can do, right? They give up at that point. Sorry. And then she heals, and then they say, oh, it was spontaneous. It was
And you know what they said at one point? You know what they said? The liver specialist at Mount Sinai, Cedars-Sinai, said, you know, I made a mistake. That liver biopsy was, it wasn't positive. And it's like, really? And, you know, she had the PET scan that lit up with the SUV and all that. So, yeah, it's interesting how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, these, you know, Kelly Turner, who documented all these incredible case studies, you know, calls them radical remissions, right? They're radical, but they're exceptional. They're exceptional healings.
Yeah.
Exceptional meaning that, you know, it is beyond, very often beyond belief, but that is what God is. God, I mean, how can we, you know, put any name or word or, you know, even to paper what God's power truly is when we put our life in God's hand and say, you know, God, guide me, show me the way, you know, what do I need to do? And sometimes, I mean, the reality is sometimes it is our time to go. And I think that's another part. That's probably a tough part of, you know, and the patients you work with, I would imagine, is talking about death and dying and the next stages and preparing people for that, right? Because not everybody's going to heal from cancer. We know that. Not everybody's going to heal from any disease for that matter. I mean, you nor I or any, you know, the best conventional oncologist in the world can't guarantee somebody that their cancer is going to go away.
You know what was funny, Nathan? A number of years ago, I was in Florida where my mom lived. She passed away a couple of years ago. She lived in the West Palm Beach area. So I was going through some stuff, you know, that she had from our childhood and so forth. And I came across my high school yearbook, my senior high school yearbook. You know, they have your picture. They have like a famous quote and your zodiac sign, whatever. And I said, let me see what I wrote when I was in high school. And I wrote, God heals and the doctor takes the fee. I wrote that in high school. I wrote that in high school, and I'm like, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned something. So going back to those 12 patterns of exceptional healing from Diane Perlman, this is what we, you know, when we coach cancer clients through the different steps of success, the, you know, two of those things you mentioned with that patient, what was her name?
Rivi.
Rivi. So yeah. One of the things that they found in common with people who heal from cancer is that they reject the prognosis, but they accept the diagnosis, right? So they reject the prognosis, what I call the fake expiration date. They said, you have 6 months left to live unless you do this or whatever. And they reject it. They say, no, I don't accept that. That's based on averages and statistics and, you know, all kinds of different things. And some people beat that and others, right? Like, you can't take that and go, oh yeah, that's me, that's my life. And so the people—
Because you weren't part of that. You weren't part of that group that was studied. You're you, you're unique. You're God's creation. They, in those studies, as you're saying, Nathan, they didn't take into account your spiritual health, your emotional health and all that. So totally agree with you. Sorry for interrupting.
No, please. Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you see this firsthand all the time. And, you know, so rejecting the prognosis, but then accepting the diagnosis, right? How important is it to fully accept and go, okay, I've got this. This is what's going on right now.
Right.
I'm not going to try and run away from it. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to blame God or somebody else for it. I'm going to accept it and then do everything I can. What do I need to do to move forward? Right?
Right.
Pray to
And to
God,
illustrate that,
work with an integrative oncologist, change the diet, implement the supplements, do the emotional healing, deepen your spiritual practices, right? All the things that you can do, you have all these things. And then there is tremendous hope, which hope for cancer, right? That's the name of your centers. Like there is always hope. That's the reality. I mentioned earlier, and some people might take this the wrong way of, oh, you said, but not everyone will heal cancer. Well, no, but there's always hope. There's no such thing as false hope. Contreras, Dr. Contreras said this in my documentary so many years ago. He goes, there is no such thing as false hope. And it's so true because you see stage four, even end stage. I have a cancer patient who went through my coaching program and followed our work for the last couple of years. She had no hope because of the conventional approach. The radiation was killing her, the chemotherapy was killing her. She stopped all of it. She was in chronic pain. They sent her home. Her husband died from cancer 10 years earlier. She lived in a little cabin in the mountains by herself. She basically had no hope. She found our work. She started making the changes we're talking about, practicing Qigong and meditation and deepening her spiritual practices and cleaning up her diet and doing more plant-based and all these things. All of a sudden, she was getting better and better and better and better. And she went from not being able to get out of bed and having no hope and cancer metastasizing everywhere to now riding her bike through the mountains and, living a great life, and her quality of life has improved. Her cancer's regressing. Like, there's always hope. That's the beautiful thing. Even when somebody tells you that there is no hope, you gotta squash that.
And why is that, Nathan? Number one is that hope is an emotion. It's a feeling. And who gave that to us? God gave that to us. So no human can take that away from us because God gave us that. That's number one. Number two is that to illustrate your point, we had a patient from Spain who was a four-star general and he had a brain tumor. He comes to our Tijuana center with four of his children, all of which are medical doctors of different specialties. And the first thing the children tell me, the kids, don't tell our dad that he has cancer. And I said, wait a minute. This guy's a four-star general. Don't you want to know? I don't call cancer the enemy, but I'll use that in this example. Don't you want to know the enemy as a four-star general so you know how to plan and you're more compliant with your therapy? So it took me about a month, a week, I'm sorry, it took me about a week to convince the kids, the medical doctors, that we should tell their dad that he has cancer. What I didn't understand is what did the dad think of coming for hope for cancer if he didn't have cancer? But anyway, that's another story. So yes, we told the dad, I told the dad with all the children in the room and the wife, and he it was like his freedom to accept the diagnosis and now to follow the plan, to execute the plan as best as he can. And guess what? He's probably alive now. I lost track of him like 15 years later, right? This is a long time ago. So I like stories because we learn and we remember stories. And I'll
What
say
was
one
he? What, sorry, what was he? What were they afraid of telling him?
that he was going to give up, that he, was lose hope, right? The hope story that we're talking about, lose hope. But it was the opposite, right? It was the opposite.
Yeah, I
Now he
mean, you
knew.
think of a general, a four-star general, like someone who's going to be the most determined person to
Right?
do
Yes.
something. Yeah, like I don't even know why they would think, oh, don't tell him where. It's like they had all the fear, right?
Right.
Because I see they're medical doctors. They see the fear that happens in patients every
That's right.
day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it makes sense. But yeah, a general, you would think like, no, that's the
Right?
best thing you could tell him. He's going to do something about it.
Yeah, and it turned out to be the good way to approach that. One short story, we had a big Brazilian patient, about 6'7", tall guy, and he was in our Tijuana center. And his assigned doctor says, "Dr. Tony, this patient wants to talk to you." And I said, "Okay, give me his chart." And he said, No, it's nothing about medicine." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I walk in the room, I look up because this guy's like 6'7", and he starts crying. And he says, "Thank you, Dr. Tony, thank you." And I, you know, "What happened?" And he said, "You know, for many years, I thought my heavenly father had abandoned me, that I had lost all hope. And that because I've been doing pornography, I've been doing this and I've been doing that. And now I have this cancer. So I have no hope. I have my heavenly father doesn't love me. But here at your treatment center, I heard the voice of God say to me the following words, 'Son, I love you.'" Those four words. And he says, "When I heard that, clearly I knew that my heavenly father has not abandoned me and that he has a plan for me." And he said, "It doesn't matter what happened to the cancer now," right? Knowing that. So, wow, that connection with the spiritual, the emotional, the hope, as you've been saying, Nathan, is so real. And of course, I have many more stories, but I wanted to highlight those couple ones.
Yeah, it gave me chills when you just said that. You know, and that's I, right now I'm studying a lot of the ancient Vedic knowledge, the yogic saints from India, who, you know, were profound students of God and devoted their whole lives to God and knowing God. And many of them over the years have spent much of their lives studying Jesus and the Bible and having that connection. And you know, it's so beautiful when I read the, you know, from Yogananda, for example, Autobiography of a Yogi, but I'm actually going through his lessons, which go deep into all the teachings that he learned from his teachers. Sri Ramakrishna is another great example. These are incredible saintly human beings who had such a profound love and connection and devotion to God. And what they all teach is basically the same thing, is that, you know, we're very often like the prodigal son or prodigal daughter, right, that have turned our backs on God, or certainly in my case, you know, ignored God or left God or thought, yeah, there's some kind of God or spiritual being out there, but I don't quite understand it or know it, so I don't, you know, I don't know how to explain it other than like not there's not devotion there, right? Whereas more recently, I've devoted my whole life to God, to knowing God, and to really having that connection and that relationship. And they talk about exactly that. When you really devote your life to God and to knowing God, God will respond to you. God will show you the way. And oftentimes it's little things, right? Like in meditation or deep prayer, you feel this sense of just peace and kind of joy. And you know, that's God communing with you. Or short little story happened this weekend. We were at the beach in St. Augustine, south of Jacksonville, and I had just finished a walk. I was listening to a spiritual talk. I'd laid down, I was doing a meditation, and I that meditation finished, and I laid down. I was going to go into a deeper, longer meditation, and something kept pulling me out, right? It was just this feeling of like, now's not the time, now's not the time. It was just like a feeling. I was like, all right, fine, I'll sit up, you know, and I'll just kind of enjoy the beach here. I start grabbing some snacks and I look over and I see this man running down the beach towards the water, and he trips and falls and tumbles. And right there, it was that intuitive knowing. I know it was God, you know, communicating with me. It was like, something's wrong, go now. And so I grabbed my boogie board and I started running in that direction. There were probably a couple hundred yards up the beach, right? And as I'm getting closer and closer to the water, I see that there's two kids out beyond the surf and basically drowning. And, you know, there's no lifeguards at this beach. And this was a family that had come over from Tampa to get away from the hurricane. They don't have waves like that over there. And he got caught in a rip tide and it was pulling him out. And the younger kid came in on one of the waves. He was fine, but the kid, maybe in his 20s, black kid, was out there, and he didn't know what to do against a rip tide. You swim the opposite way. You swim parallel to the beach. You don't try and fight it. And he was exhausted. And by the time, and I just ran straight out to him. I didn't ask anything what's going on. It was like that. It was that feeling of God, like just like go save him now. And so ran out there. Luckily, I had my boogie board, and I get out to the waves, and I could see his head's going under, and he's just barely fighting to stay, and I made it to him, and he was literally seconds away from drowning. He had swallowed a bunch of water. He was basically unconscious by the time I got him on the board, and then, carried him in on the waves. And he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand. He was mostly unconscious, then he was vomiting. Like he was, and I told him, I said, you're very lucky today. God is looking out for you. It's not your time to go yet, right? It's not your time to go. Because that wasn't me. It was like, that was all, I felt like that was a presence that was like, go save him now, And
you
and
were
I think
his angel.
Well, I you, think were, part,
you were his angel, Nathan. You were his angel.
Yeah, I feel like part of that is just, it's me deepening my connection and devotion to God. And so opening myself to be able to receive that, to receive God's guidance, right? And I'm sharing the story because I know that's accessible for everybody anywhere, no matter your religion, belief, wherever you are in the world, that we have to move towards God.
That's right.
Then God moves towards us, right? But if we turn our back on God, what's he going to do? Right? It's like, how's he going to help us, right? We can't expect him to do everything for us if we turn our back on him.
You said a beautiful word and all that you said that I remember you said relationship with God. And that's exactly the key, is the relationship we have with God, right? The relationship. And I teach our patients that in the morning when you wake up, because 10,000 people don't wake up every morning in the world. With cancer, without cancer, apparently healthy, 10,000 people don't wake up a day, every day. So what I teach patients and I do myself is when I open my eyes in the morning, I just give God thanks. Thank you, Lord. This is another day, another blessing. The second thing, if you have someone next to you, your wife or your partner, tell them how much you love them. Say, give them a kiss. And then the third thing, I'm more the medical side, is I say, think about the seven key principles of cancer therapy or the seven key principles of health and see what you could do better today. Is it that yesterday my detox wasn't good or wasn't up to what I should be doing? Because we should live a life of detoxification. We should live a life of detoxification. As I say, as lymph flows, life goes, right? So we have to detox. We have to get the lymphatics going. Or was it nutrition? And to that point, your plant powder athlete formula that I have here, Nathan, I want to publicly thank you for gifting me this and to my son. And we both have had excellent results. The ingredients are amazing. I know it took a lot of time, years, and effort to research this and the combination and the amounts of each of these ingredients. So thank you. I do encourage anyone out there to get a hold of one of these, two of these, 10 of these, and use them. By the way, I muscle tested, because I'm also a kinesiologist, whatever people believe on that, but it's very valid science. And all my family tested really strong for this plant powdered athlete protein powder. So yes, props to that, Nathan. Thank you so much. And what is the other key principles? I mean, what did you do yesterday for the immune system? Right. So we go through and I tell patients, remember those seven key principles and every morning, see how you could step it up. It's like, I was born in Colombia, grew up in New Jersey, but I never went skiing. And so my friend, not too many years ago, he's an avid skier. He did ski videos and all that. He said, Tony, let's go to Big Bear and in California. And I'm like, for skiing? I'm Colombian, and I work a lot in Cancun and our other treatment centers. This is not, give me a baseball or basketball or a tennis racket and I'm good with that. So Bob, every day he stepped it up. He empowered me and gave me confidence and corrected what I needed to correct. So the first day, of course, you start in the green slope, right? It's like a bunny hill. I kid you not. The second half of the second day, I skied the Black Diamond.
Oh, wow.
And it's because Bob empowered me. He gave me confidence. He taught me. And this is what you're doing to your community, right? Empowering them, giving them information so they could step it up every morning. And this is what we do at Hope for Cancer, with those seven key principles as a foundation. So see how you could step it up every morning, because we know one in every two men will have cancer sometime in their lifetime, and one in every three females in the US and probably in many industrialized countries is the same. Statistically, it's being said now that by 2030, everyone in the US will have cancer sometime in their lifetime. And that's excluding skin cancer. So we really have to be proactive today, not mañana, as we say in Mexico. I know you have a Mexican wife, right? Not mañana. We have to be proactive hoy, today. And so those seven key.
Ahora, ahora, hoy.
Ahora mismo.
Ahora mismo, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Dr. Tony, it's always a treat and a pleasure. Love learning from you, spending time with you, love hearing your stories. Thank you for that beautiful, glowing testimonial with our plant-powered athlete protein powder. Yeah, like you said, it was years in the making, and it was actually I was reluctant to do it because I've been in the cancer field and doing all the work I do here for over a decade and 20 years in natural health, and it was like this was a whole it was this inner talking about God guiding us. It's like for 2 years it was inside of me, like, hey, we need to do this in kind of the athletic space and bring healthier, higher quality, scientifically formulated, clean products. Because you look at the products that are out there today, most of them are just junk, right? They're full of fillers and additives and chemicals and preservatives and processed sugars and conventional ingredients filled with pesticides and herbicides. And it was like, I have this passion for athletes, and I have this passion for helping people realize no matter what age they are, no matter whether you're an elite athlete or not, that if you're active in any way, I want you to think of yourself as an athlete. Because if you do, like, working with, world-class boxers, if you think of yourself as an athlete, even if you play tennis a couple days a week, or you golf on the weekends, or, you jog, or even you walk around your block every day, if you start thinking, I am an athlete, then you take better care of your body and your health and your mind, right? Athletes focus more on sleep, focus more on nutrition, focus more on emotional well-being, on recovery, saunas, ice baths, all the things that help us live longer and healthier. So that's part of our mission at PPA, at Plant Powered Athlete, is to help everyone realize you are an athlete, treat your body like an athlete, and you will live and perform better.
Yes,
So.
and to that point, I have twins that are 15. Isaac is the boy. And he's at an age now that he's lifting, he's really into it. He's a thin guy like me, mean and lean and all that. And wow, Nathan, I tell you, his definition now and the way he loves your plant powdered athlete formula, it's exceptional. So I want to ask you a question. Because you're asking me too many questions here, but I want to ask you. I always say move, move, move. A body is in motion is a body that can heal. Years ago, when I started in oncology, someone with bone cancer, either primary or metastatic bone cancer, we were taught to tell them, stay in bed, don't move. Obviously, that's not true, right? They need to move, and that will improve osteoblast formation in the bone to recover bone strength and integrity. So my question to you is, what are your thoughts with the plant powder protein, organic, natural? I have the vanilla flavor. I love it. For cancer patients or for chronic disease patients, tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, that's an interesting question. It's a question I will probably do my best to avoid in all all ways possible because I can't talk about supplements and cancer, right? Like legally, FDA, FTC, they'll come try and hunt me down. So I'm not going to answer that directly, but I would say that adding more plant-based nutrition. Now, let me just talk about studies for a second. With right, when you look at increased protein, we know, well, let me say this. If you're aging, let's say 50 and older, or you're athletic, we know that you need more protein, right? The
Right.
studies are very clear the last 30 years now, and this is new because a lot of doctors and scientists aren't really aware of it yet. 30 years is still pretty new in science, but there's a tremendous amount of science saying, look, the RDA is probably too low for most
Yes,
people if you're
for
right.
sure.
Right? It's too low if you're 50 and older or if you're athletic, right? The RDA was, and I mean, it's very questionable how they even figured out the RDA, but generally it's too low for the amount of protein. That's really for you're sedentary, you don't do anything in your life, like that small 0.36 grams per pound. It's literally a tiny amount of protein each day. And you see through the studies that as you increase protein, you increase muscle protein synthesis, right? You increase your body's ability using those amino acids to do all the function it needs to do. A lot of people think of protein, they just think, oh, it's one kind of nutrient that is just for muscles. No, it's amino acids, right? It's over 20 amino acids that are responsible for literally forming everything from tissues and eyes and muscles and joint, all kinds of things and processes in the body, right? So increasing protein is generally a very good thing as we age. But when you look at the studies, increasing animal protein past a certain point is all directly associated with increased cancer risk, whether it's colon cancer, it's breast cancer. But when you increase plant protein in the same studies, you don't see the increased risk in cancer, and in some studies you actually see the decreased risk in cancer. So, adding more, this is plant-based, but adding more, I'm a big proponent for whole foods, real foods, but sometimes it's challenging to get the amount of protein that we need on a plant-based diet if you're not really very specific and focused on it, which I encourage everyone to really take the time to eat real foods, but having a clean organic protein powder to support you in getting enough protein for your body, especially on days when you're a little more active or on days that like you're just not really tracking your foods and you're not sure you're getting enough protein. Maybe you're not eating high protein foods. Like, lentils are a great high protein food. Tofu is a great high protein food, right? In the plant food world, in the plant-based world, any kind of organic, if you're gonna do soy, it's gotta be organic. Edamame, tempeh is fermented soy, right? These kinds of things, you're going to get higher protein. People think nuts and seeds are high protein. Hemp seeds are, flax seeds are, but regular nuts and seeds, they're more fat than they are protein. So you're not going to get a ton of protein from them. So adding in a protein supplement, you want to make sure, number one, whether it's ours or any other one, it's organic, right? It uses science to formulate it. So ours has five specific plant proteins to get an ideal branched chain amino acid ratio of what's called 2:1:1 to leucine, isoleucine, and valine. It's a whole other bigger conversation, but and then the adaptogens that are incredible for stress. The science shows with those adaptogens, maca, ginseng, ashwagandha, stress reduction, which is huge, huge for helping the body to get into a parasympathetic state so it can heal itself, right? So stress reduction. More mental clarity, more energy so that you can actually you feel good in doing the activities that you want to do. You also see lower inflammation. You see inflammation. We know inflammation is one of the, underlying causes of cancer. So, that's why I did the formulation, to give people a clean organic option to be able to get more good quality plant protein in their diet with adaptogens that are going to actually support their health and vitality as they age.
Well, this is great. I mean, we're such in the same space. In my book that I mentioned, Hope for Cancer, I coined the term the garden food plan, the garden plan. And it's chapter six, which gives you the basic highlights of following a garden food plan for cancer patients and wellness also. And so much to talk about this, but I want to highlight a few things based on what you said. We use some peptides. Peptides are the newer kid on the block to cell regeneration and decreasing inflammation. And so when you get the proper amino acids in a right balance, they form the peptides. And so in our acutely ill patients, we have to give them the peptides, either injectable or orally, whether it's thymosin alpha 1 or BPC 157. Those are two of my favorite ones, right? It's so important to get those peptides, but it starts with the amino acids, right? We do have nutritionists at our centers also, and we take a very individualized, personalized nutrition care. We do, be it, all the body mass index, all the parameters, looking at hemoglobin A1C, looking at insulin resistant. All that is a big part of what we do. So it's not just looking at a normal blood test, which, the liver has thousands of function, and doctors are checking four liver enzymes and, basing whether the liver is healthy on that or not. Antimicrobial therapy and all that is very important. And I want to also highlight that, nutrition is food. In the American Cancer Society website, they talk about nutrition to help you tolerate chemotherapy better, not nutrition as medicine, right? Nutrition as a foundation to health. So this is quite an important topic, but I totally agree with everything you said. We are plant-based in our center. I love Ashwagandha also. Actually, my son, Tony Jr., who's another amazing kid, but his cat is called Ashwa, and he's the one that's he's the one that I sent one of your plant powdered athlete formula to him, and he loves it also. So yeah, Nathan, we could talk a lot about these. So the bottom line for cancer patients is that this is a good product to support their healing and their wellness at all levels. Remember four things, please, as we might be wrapping this out, is cancer is a low oxygen disease. It's an acidic disease. It's a low temperature disease. And as Nathan said, is an inflammatory disease. And we have to take a very deep look at these four parameters. We look at IL-6, interleukin-6, yep, which is a great target for clinical intervention in our patients. We know that IL-6 it increases acute phase proteins like C-reactive protein. It decreases albumin, which is one of the most important proteins in the body. And albumin is an indirect prognostic indicator in cancer patients. So all you listening, look at your serum albumin levels. And although the normal range is 3.5 and above, in my clinical experience, when your albumin level is 4 or above, you have a more favorable outcome. So this is where the lab tests need to be looked at from not just a normal range, as you were saying, and RDAs and all that. We have to look at it from a functional perspective. How is that addressing the functionality of glands, organs, tissues, and cells, right? Immune surveillance, another big thing. So thank you. Thank you for bringing this plant powder protein to me and to the world soon, right, Nathan?
Yes. No, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Tony. Thank you for all that. You're such a pioneer and leader in the space, and somebody I know so many of us look up to. So really grateful and honored and humbled to have you on the podcast and have this good conversation. We'll have to do it again at some point. I loved mm-hmm. Love talking with you. And the best place for people to get your book, to connect with your team, to learn more about Hope for Cancer, what's the best website for people?
Well, I asked someone in my staff about that because they know better than me, and she said you could tell the listeners you could go to our website, which is hope4cancer.com. Or send us a message on Instagram, and we will give you access to our webinars and blogs and connect you to our admissions department if you're interested in us reviewing the records, the medical records. We have two doctors, medical doctors, in our admissions team that review the patient's record and put together a treatment plan. Also, Nathan, I want to, if it's okay with you, offer a free e-booklet. It's going to be a book in the near future, but it's the 11 integrative hallmarks of health or cancer. And what this is looking at the root causes that we're attending to with the seven key principles, right? Looking at the root causes, and we call it the 11 integrative hallmarks of cancer or
Beautiful.
health. So we'll send you the link.
Yeah, please share. Or do you have the, can we tell the link for listeners?
My Lisa will send it to your staff so that you could. I don't know exactly the link offhand.
Okay. Or they could also on hopeforcancer.com just
Right. Good.
contact you guys and ask for it. Mention the 11 hallmarks of integrative.
Yes. Integrative, 11 integrative hallmarks of cancer or health. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, or on Instagram too. That's great. They can connect. They can follow you guys on Instagram and send a
Right.
message there as well. So,
Yeah.
okay. Beautiful. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that gift. Thank you for sharing your gift. And yeah, appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Your gift to me and to many others. Thank you. I was so excited to be on this podcast with you, and I look forward to the next time. Blessings.
Awesome. Blessings. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Nathan Crane Podcast. Please make sure to subscribe and share this on social media. Then head over to nathancrane.com for your free ebook.
So when we're talking about, you know, what are these underlying causes and conditions of these chronic diseases, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, they all have very similar, if not identical, causes. And that's the thing, is when we get to the root cause of these diseases, we can not only prevent these diseases from ever happening, but empower our bodies to heal from them.
In every one of our cells, we have tens and hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are happening every second that are cycling back and forth. And it's like sort of a yin and yang.
And, you know, for me, the soul's purpose is evolution. It doesn't care about comfort. It cares about evolution. And so I think so long as we are following our soul, then we will evolve. And I think what sometimes blocks us from living our purpose, from manifesting that next level of our expression, is we have not evolved.
There is also a time for letting go all the expectations and relax and just breathe and be grateful for what you have achieved.